Welcome to The Hoop Commitment. I'm your host, Mike Nielsen. Join me every week to get inside the greatest minds in basketball nutrition, training, and leadership to elevate your game and improve the way you eat, train, and lead. Welcome to episode 100. We did it. And man, it's been a fun ride. And to celebrate sticking with me, I brought on the show today the active, winningest coach in all of college basketball, Gonzaga's Mark Few. But if you're listening to this podcast, you don't need me to introduce him. You've probably been watching his teams go to the NC2A tournament for the past 22 years straight. But one of my favorite parts of today's interview is that we didn't talk a whole lot about the X's and O's of basketball. Instead, he shared his leadership philosophy, dealing with critics, and navigating being a parent of kids who love basketball. And so the wait is over. Here is Coach Mark Few. Coach, welcome to the 100th episode of the Hoop Commitment Podcast.
Wow, what an honor to be number 100. So my pleasure.
Well, I don't want to talk too much trash about Stockton, but Stockton wasn't the 100th episode.
No, he should have been. He's a Hall of Famer, an all-timer, so he should be probably, he can take my slot if he wants.
I should have had him as number one. Yeah. Well, I want to start out today by talking, I got two things when I think about you that I really love, and one is how you've made Gonzaga basketball More of a family thing than even a team thing. It really feels this family feel where people know your family. You have your dog come around. You know, our kids get to be in the gym. And the quality of people that you recruit are so high. Was this something that was happened? Was this part of a bigger plan? Walk me through that piece.
I don't know if it's a bigger plan. I mean, I think what it is it's genuine. It's who I am. So, gosh, a long, long time ago, probably one of our first delves into the mental side of things and team building and all that. We had a guy come talk to us, and I'll always remember this. He talked about, like, whatever you value will show in your actions. Because everybody talks about, hey, I'm about this and I'm about that. But then, you know, but, like, your actions will show. And I would just say this, I think anybody that comes out of our program, whether they're here for a year like Jalen Suggs or 4 years like Corey or, you know, you and Matt and Domus or anybody, this is a family place, man. They see my kids, they see the assistants' kids, they see everybody around here all the time, and we run it just like a big family. And that's what works for me. Like, for other guys, they couldn't handle that. You know, they need more structure, more, you know, whatever. They couldn't handle kids running around or a dog running around or whatever. But that suits me.
Is that coming to mind when you go through the recruiting process? Are you recruiting not just skills in terms of shoot, pass, dribble, but you're also trying to recruit athletes or guys that you think would fit into that mold well?
No, listen, man, when you're at the level we're at right now, you're recruiting flat talent. Look, but will somebody that's just a total jerk, you know, we're not going to touch him, or somebody that might be motivated into some other areas and maybe not buy into our whole team first. But by and large, I mean, the hardest threshold to hit at Gonzaga is the talent level. Mm-hmm. So that limits the pool so much. And then there's also, you know, a train of thought in a lot of instances that, you know, somebody might be an unfinished product or maybe slightly rough around the edges. You get them in our program around great people and family and all that. And I've seen that numerous times. People change and really thrive in this kind of environment. But yeah, I mean, limiting people for the hardest thing to get into this program is talent right now. But at the same time, we're still not going to compromise our values. But you know, I mean, you don't go out there on the circuit looking for good, you know, guys that are sitting at the end of the bench and yelling and screaming and all that. That's sadly not reality.
Well, has that changed in the last 20 years? Because when I think about my experience as a player, I vividly remember players coming in, hanging out for the weekend, and you guys would ask us, hey, is he a Zag? How did he fit in? And I really felt like I had feedback into this process.
Oh, that hasn't changed at all, Mike. No. And I don't want to, like, I mean, I just want to understand. The talent is the first thing. We don't go looking for the guy standing up cheering at the end of the bench. So, no. We always ask our guys during the recruiting process, after they come on the visit, you know, does this guy have the, you know, the core values? And our players have always had, through my entire tenure, like full veto power. If they want to come at the end of the weekend and say, hey, coach, this guy doesn't work, I'm great with that. Just like, all right, no, it's good to know. I don't get to see everything. And you know, a lot of times I only get to see just a sliver of it, right? You know, and who they are when they're away from me is probably more indicative of, you know, what it's going to be like here. So 1,000%, man, they have veto power. I mean, through the course of 22 odd years or 23, whatever it's been, I've been head coach, you know, they use that probably 3 or 4 times, maybe is all, maybe 5 or 6. I don't know. But yeah, I think that's important too. Hey, I would say we're very, very protective of our culture here. And so we have to recruit the talent, but we also explain during the recruiting process what this culture is all about. And it's about winning, and it's about playing for Gonzaga. And when you play for Gonzaga, then you're going to build all kinds of brand recognition and value for yourself. And our goal is to get you to play in the NBA just like your goal is. But while you're here, you know, you're going to have a great time. And hopefully, I mean, history would show you're going to win a ton of games and be in position to compete for a national championship. But we want the same thing as you, you know, to get you to the NBA and or make a bunch of money playing basketball. And I mean, that we're totally 1,000% all about that.
Well, and then you get these great athletes here, and I'm finding out are great people. I love getting to meet all the new guys coming in. What are some of those leadership traits that would determine if you envision this person as a leader or the team captain? You know, what are some of those qualities that stand out as some of the most important?
I mean, you know what? I think the leadership thing really kind of just happens generically. And I will sit back and watch, and I don't really name captains, you know, in the spring or anything like that. I like to see year to year, you know, you look at this past year. I mean, clearly Corey and Joel, you know, did a great job with this. But we've also had years where I tell the staff, like, listen, man, we're going to have to be the leaders of this team. They're not a whole lot of naturally great leaders, you know, amongst our group, or that are comfortable enough leading. So we'll just have to kind of assume the reins and lead. So, you know, it's different. There is no, you know, hey, these 3-5 characteristics. You can lead in a bunch of different ways. Yeah. I mean, Corey was fantastic at it because he really owned it and he studied it. And I have just the most crazy amount of respect for how he reached out to everybody on the team and in the organization, the managers and everybody. And he might be as good a leader as we've had in the whole, you know, run. But there's been other great leaders too, man, that just led by example, or just how hard they practiced and how hard they competed every time. And then I think people responded to that. So it's just totally different every single year, and rather than trying to fit it into a perfect form, you just kind of got to sit back and wait and try to help move it along, has been my theory.
Well, one of the reasons I was able to have a great career here in my...
It was a long time ago.
A long time ago.
I know we like to hearken back to these days on these podcasts, but... Have at her.
Hey, man, you got to give me something. Well,
there you go. Go for it. Morrison did it on his. So I'll try to remember as best I can.
Oh, come on. I got my photo in your office, I'm sure, right? Frame somewhere?
Somewhere. I honestly think, because my parents never change out much in their home, I want to say, like I told you, I think you and Matt and Ryan and Axel and the whole crew are still sitting above their fireplace, I think.
Well, just for the record, how many players have cut your dad's hair before?
Let's quantify and qualify that. It's not a hard cut, right?
Hey,
it's a buzz cut. So,
no, that thing
you,
is
you're
tight.
The only one. Yeah. But he wouldn't notice if you did a nice fade or cut initials in the side or anything. But yeah, you did do a nice job of that, and he still remembers that.
I know. I love him. Your parents are the best. Well, going back to the glory days, I was going to say, I don't think this has changed, which is so many guys have been like me, which have been good at one thing or had a piece of the puzzle, but not the whole puzzle. Some of these guys you're recruiting now, they do so many things well. But I think one of the things I really appreciate about GU is that you will find the way that someone can contribute. And we talk about, you're saying there's so many different ways to lead. Well, there's so many ways to bring value to the court.
Sure.
And, as we go through, is there a place for a guy that might not be the best scorer to still find his way and get minutes on your squad?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we've been playing with that for years, whether it's a guy that can really, really defend or protect the rim or maybe even just take care of the ball and advance it. I bristle a little bit about when, especially guys off your team and some of the teams after, when they say, well, you guys are recruiting a different guy. I mean, your team's had great players, great players. And I don't know how much different it is, the accolades and stuff might be different for some of our guys, but, your guys could play, you are a great, tremendous on-ball defender. And, we had crazy confidence in you. You understood your role. I mean, look at what Joel did for us this year. Joel was, he basically became maybe the greatest cutter in the history of college basketball. And also just kind of a guy who had a nose for the ball and would track down rebounds in a lot different manner than it wasn't from blocking out, but he just had an incredible nose for the ball, but he'd also know when to move it. And then he'd find his points and his shots. And so really not that much different maybe than the role you played for us in the past. But again, like Ryan Floyd was a heck of an athlete that could make threes and make shots. Matt Santangelo was a highly recruited player and talented player who could, kind of hurt you in three different levels and shoot, pass, dribble, finish. Casey Calvary, he'd play on any team we've ever had. There's no question about that. So, yeah, I bristle kind of, and again, I think recruiting's more hyped up now would be what I would say on that. We just do our evaluations and try to pick the guys that we know, keep us at a level that we're, need to be competing at, which again is different than where we were when you were playing. We were burst onto the scene and at the end of your career and just trying to stay, that's the first time we became nationally relevant, quite frankly. And so it's a totally, totally different animal than what we were dealing with back then.
Gosh, I remember being with Santangelo and we thought we were dreaming big. Hey, our senior year, we're going to get to the tournament and win a game. It's just, we had no idea of what the potential of this program was. How has your definition of success changed over the last 20 years, or has it?
I don't have a set bar for success. I don't even know what that means, really. Because there's so many things involved in it, right? Like a great marriage, great family, great relationship with your players and staff. Obviously the issue with me is I'm a highly competitive person, so I want to win no matter what I want to, whatever I'm in, I want to win.
Including pickleball.
Pickleball, you name it. I don't, it doesn't matter. Badminton or, heck, if I go surfing with the kids, I want to do have a good session surfing. And so, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a definition of success. I would just say, you know, contentment would be probably that. So, but, I mean, the expectations in this program have changed, you know, 1,000% since when you played. And so, but I guess my argument is the, you know, the people in the program have as high or higher expectations than anybody around it. So we just kind of deal with those.
When you look back over the last couple of decades, any highlights stand out in terms of maybe some of your, one of your favorite moments out of, I know probably a dozen of them, but.
A dozen? I mean, there's been thousands of them, man. I mean, just thousands. So it's really hard to, it's hard to pick out one. I mean, listen, obviously when you advance to the Final Four, that is the pinnacle of, you know, this business, this life that we are in and chose. And so those are pretty cool moments. I mean, I feel horrible. This team got robbed of everything that comes with a Final Four. I mean, it, when we walked out on the floor for that South Carolina game and for the North Carolina game in front of 80,000 people or whatever it was, I mean, that, obviously that, those are the moments that are just like, wow. Like, you know, and then you just get down to coaching and doing whatever, but it's still, if you think about it, there aren't many, I mean, it's a short list of people that get to walk out and deal with that on a regular basis. So those have obviously been the highlight, but there's a bunch of, there's all kinds of little bad, you know, little really cool things where you see players grow and end up, you know, we have a saying in the program, every dog always has his day, you know, seeing those guys, you struggle in their senior year, end up having a magical year, end up having a magical run, end up having, you know, a magical moment. Those are pretty special. Or watching somebody that, you know, wasn't very good academically when he got here and got through it and graduated. Seeing all you guys get married, have kids, all of those are really special moments, you know. So that's the cool part about coaching.
One of my highlights was being at the first Final Four. And I don't, you might have been stressed or something might have been going on inside. But I tell you what, I don't know if I've ever seen you so happy as when I was down there and we had all the guys that played before me that I had kind of looked up to. I remember I got to hang out with Matt Stanford and I'm like, I remember coming in, you guys were saying, hey, look at this guy. He did it well. Yeah. And I was, Mike Hart was there and we got, three of us got a picture. But to see from the outside, you just seemed like you were in your element. You know, that seemed like just a cool, another example of family.
And again, I got to admit, that probably is the highlight of any experience I've ever had at Gonzaga was the meeting we had. You were part of that, the eve of, you know, the Final Four game against South Carolina. We had our former players in there. Kobe Bryant came in and did this thing. It just totally blew our players away. Seeing their reaction, I couldn't believe how fired up they were to see Kobe Bryant. You know, you don't get that, it's hard to get that much of a rise out of your guys. And, but then, you know, we did our little pregame, you know, film session and got the guys all jazzed up. And, but then we brought in, I don't know how many, there was 100 or more former players. All former Zags that had been in the program came into the film room in our, this big ballroom we had. And we had the video guy had set up a really cool highlight video with stuff from your, all the way back to Stockton, but you're obviously more with your guys' run and all the different players over the years. And to see my current guys, you know, the Zach Collinses and Nigels and, you know, and Shemek and Jordan Matthews and everybody, J3, all hooting and hollering, on every pass and every, because I mean, our highlights are dunks and lobs and all that. So it was, but it was so cool. And then the most powerful moment was all of you guys, I don't know if you remember this, you lined up and the players that were getting ready to play, my guys had to walk through and shake everybody's hand. And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. Easily the most powerful moment I've ever had, in my career, and one of the most powerful ones in my life. It was just awesome. So
I'm getting goosebumps. I mean, tearing up just
thinking
about it.
It was good. I don't think most teams, I would say that most, I don't know. Truth be told, I talked to Jay Wright about that, going into the Final Four, and he had said they had did that the first time they went through it, and so that was where we got the idea for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember being out in that hallway, and I don't think any of the players knew that the current players knew.
We didn't let them. And you guys were really loud, and we were trying to go over the scouting report.
I know. And poor Matt Santangelo, he's still the team leader. He was, like, yelling at people, hey, be a Zag. They asked us to be quiet. But the thing I remember was walking in and having the current guys, as we walked in, they all gave us a standing ovation. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, this moment's unreal. And then to be standing next to Stockton and guys after me and this brotherhood, and what that highlight film was, unbelievable.
Yeah,
it was this guy from the 90s with a layup, and the current guys were like, yeah, let's go. And then of course they intermixed it with their highlights, which were such a different level. But
like a Zach Collins dunk or a J3 dunk, but it was special. I don't know if anybody's ever done anything like that, to that level, because again, when it's the first time, it's just so special. And I mean, everybody came from all over the place. I mean, my college roommate, who's like an incredible athlete in his own right, he's a 3-time Olympian, 3-time in the Olympics, number one pole vaulter in the U.S. for a couple of years. He came all the way from Monte Carlo, lives in Monte Carlo, came all the way back for Shemek's, all the people that were overseas and everybody, there's family from Poland coming in. There's family from everywhere our guys were, all our pro guys showed up. I mean, I know that was a big deal in the stands, and it was powerful stuff.
It was so cool for the game, too. I looked over there, and I see Coach Munson, and just everywhere you look, you just see all these people over the last 30 years that have been an important part of the program all showed up.
Yeah, totally. And right, they got lives. They got a lot of stuff going on, and they all showed up, and they're all still Zags. So that shows the impact that this place had on them.
Well, those are one of the highlight. What about, difficult times or handling the critics? We know that there's a tremendous amount of pressure, especially at the level that we're at. We're always going to have people saying, hey, they weren't this, they're not that, this year's team. How do you deal with all the naysayers?
I mean, I don't really deal with them. One of the smartest things I ever did was I've never got involved with social media. I mean, I just have not. I mean, I shouldn't say have not. When it started out early, I vividly remember sitting in my office in June or July, and I think that was back when there was message boards or something in my second, third, or fourth year in there, whatever. And I remember just going through, I think one of the assistants showed me, and just reading it, and I remember just being mad at, some of the stuff. It was just so wrong and ignorant, in many cases about what was going on. But I mean, I literally was driving home and I was mad, and it was June or July. And I'm like, why am I like this? Like, who cares? So, I mean, I just made a conscious decision. I don't know. I just never went back on message boards, never got into the whole social media thing, and don't have a Snapchat, don't have an Instagram, don't have face. I don't have any of that. So I just don't have to deal with it. Don't listen to talk radio, you know, don't. I just kind of focus on what I can control and try to do the best I can with that. Again, our expectations are as high or higher than what everybody else has for us. Everybody's got an opinion, you know, that's great. I mean, one of the great things is we have a fan following. So, I mean, they have, certainly they're passionate and have a lot of opinions. And I mean, I hear about it because people bring it to me that are around it. And I'm just like, they don't get a vote in my life, so I just kind of just, but it's part of the job, man.
When it's all said and done, what would you like your players to learn from you? You know, what would you hope that they would take away from their experience here and say, Coach Few taught me this?
I don't know that I want them to, like, Coach Few taught, you know, what I want is that they had an awesome experience here. They felt loved. They felt like the coaching staff, myself, cared about them, you know, and lived up to all the promises or you know, the things that we talked about in the recruiting process. And again, that, you know, saw the example of family and values and kind of the core values of the program, man. I mean, as long as they feel that, man, that's perfect.
My two business partners, I was talking to them about, hey, we're going to do this episode with you. And they've always asked me, hey, did you notice when players come off the court or after the game, when he cares about somebody or a player, he slaps them on the chest. Does he know he does that? Is there a meaning to that? You know, I could just vividly see it. Players come off and you know, hey, great game. And you pop them there. Or, do you even know that you do that?
I mean, I care about all of them. So yeah. I don't know that they're just the ones I pop in the chest or just... No, I mean, that's just probably a instantaneous, spontaneous reaction during the game. So I don't know that it's just limited to, you know.
We see you do it with, like, other opposing coaches at time or other players on other – and, you know, maybe it's
it's a tell. I don't know. You used to be a big card player back in the day. I don't – maybe it's a tell. I don't know. I can't say, you know. Heck, we're in 2021, so you got to be politically correct to where you hit them and talk to them and all that. So I think the chest is still legal, at least in men's basketball. So maybe that's why. I don't know. It's definitely a spontaneous reaction. Again, just for, you know, you end up feeling a lot. You understand everything your guys go through. And there, it's just a fine line. A lot of times we've had, you know, I'll always remember this conversation I had with Nigel Williams-Goss. He basically called me during the recruiting process and said, hey, you know what, like, I think I'm going to sign or I think I'm going to go somewhere else because, you know, this guy's been talking to me more and, you know, he and I got a great relationship. And I'm like, and I just told him, like, Nigel, like, I'm not here to be your best friend, man. I mean, well, my job here is to make this the most awesome experience for you, to coach you, to try to help you continue your process of growing into, you know, manhood and career-wise and everything. And that's my job. Then when we're done, we'll be, best buddies, and we can hang out and have a beer and hang out and be buddies and all that. But that's not my job while you're here. And to his credit, because he's so smart and so focused and so driven and so kind of gets it, that I honestly think that kind of flipped it. And he's like, yeah, you know, and that's kind of what he did the first time through the process. And then he realized, like, that's not, he doesn't need a best friend kissing up to him, you know. So that's the dilemma. Like, you love all your guys, right? So you want to hit them on the chest, but I mean, there's still a lot of coaching and teaching and poking and prodding, and there's some uncomfortable times in the process that, you know, you need to work your way through, you know, and that's where good assistants come in. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of assistants. You know, they can be best friends to the players, but when you're the head coach, I mean, if you're going to have a successful organization, you know, you got to, there's got to be a little bit of separation there.
Well, I started by saying my favorite thing about you on the court is how you built this family team atmosphere. My favorite thing off the court is getting to know your kids and your family. And I've had the pleasure of being able to see them grow up, be able to be in the gym with them. How hard is that being a coach here at GU and then also having kids that love basketball? How have you kind of dealt with that piece of it?
It's been interesting. I've just came to the point and the reality that in a lot of, I think we both have, sometimes they're just better working with others that you trust and letting those guys work them out. I mean, I the blessing of being, you know, the head Division I coach or whatever is, you know, you have tons and tons of knowledge you can share with your kids. You know, the curse is, you know, sometimes when you're working them out or shooting with them or doing whatever, it's hard. You try to hold them to a different standard, you know, and that's not easy. And so sometimes it's better to just, and I think as a kid, sometimes you don't want to hear from your dad, you know, quite frankly. And so it's easier to hear somebody else's voice. And as long as that guy's competent and they're more comfortable with that, I'm kind of been cool with that. I didn't really get any help from my dad when I was coming up playing or anything. So that kind of formed how I was on that too. I'm not a type of guy that would even think about going to a practice and watching my kid. You know, I don't really not open to parents coming to our practices. So, you know what I mean? And I'm old school in that way. But I also think that when they're with the coach, they need to be with the coach and they don't need to have parents sitting there in the stands. If you want to come to a game, come to a game, but you don't need to come to practice, you know? And, so, I mean, I think that's kind of how my guys and now girl Julia have worked through it. I've stepped in and helped some practices when I think they might need just some X and O and some, you know, conceptual help with how to do things, the coach or coaches. But we've been blessed. They've all had pretty good coaches coming up.
What about for the parents who want to be able to help their kids? You know, some of this stuff is probably intuitive to you as second nature. You know why he should or should not go to this tournament versus that tournament. These young kids that are saying, oh gosh, it's fourth grade. There's an all-star, you know, a scouting thing. You know, can you give some parents some good sound advice for, hey, if your kid loves basketball, here's a good way to support him?
Well, if your kid loves basketball, just get him somewhere where he can play. And don't think like just going down to the park in Spokane or finding competitive, you know, just basketball every day. Spokane's a big city. There's a lot of good players, and he can find him. Maybe if he's that good, he'll find it with some older players. But this thought that every weekend you need to haul your kid across the country to find competition is just asinine. It's truly, and to think that if you think we're looking at him at these tournaments, you're dead wrong. Okay. So there's people making money off your insecurities. There's a time and place to make a trip or two like that to, you know, for make the group competitive or something. But if you find yourself doing these things multiple times, you know, I mean, you're wasting money and to me, you're disrupting a good, you know, a lot of family elements that don't need to be disrupted where you're flying all over the place to play in tournaments. There is a time and place for that, but I mean, they need to be, and that's not until probably they're getting on the, you know, about ready to head into high school would be the time for that. To be traveling around as fourth graders, I have no idea. I mean, go, if you're not getting competition, play fifth graders, you know. And so I think there's a lot of parents out there that are insecure about understanding, and they're insecure that they think they're not providing enough for their kids, and they want to provide everything for them. And I think they just need to take a step back and just, you know, be comfortable if their kids are playing, there's a rim and a ball, and there's a couple guys – help them find those, help them find good, competent coaches. And then, you know, and now anymore, maybe as they get into the later stages of junior high, a competent, you know, guy they can go work out athletic training wise and kind of your world. You know, and then go from there. But yeah, it's nuts, some of the stuff that's going on, especially at the younger levels. And
you've mentioned this a couple of times, just about the genetic piece too. There is, your kid loves to play basketball, but a lot of the guys that you see, especially now making an NBA, I mean, I didn't realize what kind of athletes some of these guys were until you see a Brandon Clark in practice and you're like, it's special.
Well, again, if you're sitting here and you think your son or daughter is going to make it to the NBA or whatever, like you got a better shot at a lottery ticket, you know, you literally do. So if that's your goal, I mean, you're wasting your time. Now, if you can just put them in a situation where they can work and get better and build their confidence, keep them having fun so they enjoy playing, then, you know, you can keep that thing going, and then who knows, right? I mean, maybe they'll be good enough to make varsity in high school. Maybe they'll be good enough to play after high school, you know. Maybe they'll be really, really special, especially around here in Spokane, to be a Division I player. And then, I mean, I don't know what number we're at, you know, that we're good enough to play at Gonzaga, but, I mean, it's a small number, but... You know, hey, I mean, and that's not the end all be all either, but I'm just saying, I think, you know, just trust your instincts and don't feel insecure that you have to go jump on planes and go play in tournaments in Vegas or South Carolina or Dallas or whatever. You know, I mean, you can mix those in once or twice and your kid's going to be fine.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for everything you've done for me and my family. I know. I
haven't done much for you and your family.
Are you kidding?
You got an awesome family, and your son Carter's been cool getting to know him more this year and watching him grow. And
him and Colt are buddies now.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, I know you don't think you've done a lot, but just being able to be in this environment, it's so awesome for my kids to be able to come and be able to get to know the players and be able to get to know you and your family. And yeah, I just feel lucky to be here. So hopefully we got another 10, 20 years in front of us.
I feel lucky to be here too. I am the most blessed man in the world. I have just most incredible wife, you know, Marcy, and an awesome family. And just to be able to stay at a place like this, I mean, that's what's rare. So then you can have those relationships that add so much more to your life than if you were just bouncing around everywhere chasing it, you know? So, I mean, I just feel so blessed to be able to stay in this place for 30 plus years, but also in a place that's let us grow from where we were with you to what it is now. I mean, you think about that growth, you know, it's just staggering sometimes to see that and look back that crappy little locker room we were in and how we traveled and what we did and the stuff we wore is the pictures of it. It's
that we had to even hand back in at the end of the season.
Yeah.
We didn't even get to keep it.
Oh, it's crazy. And our guys, you know, they must have 15 different unis and stuff. It's crazy. But it's cool because it, you know, Gonzaga valued it enough, and it's been great for Gonzaga. Like, come on, it's been great for Spokane. It's been great for the state of Washington. It's been great for the Northwest. I mean, heck, it's been great for the West. There really has not been a significant, you know, sustained high-level basketball program out West, you know. And so it's been awesome. So, And it's made by people like you, man. I mean, it's made by you and Trav and the assistants we've had over the years. You know, you think about, you know, Tommy and B. Mike and Roger but then Leon, Billy Greer and Ray Giacoletti. And I mean, all the guys that were, you know, kind of nurse this thing through all those years, you know, are every bit as important as the guys that are here now. So, but the greatest thing is, and like what we shared with that Final Four in Phoenix, because we've all stayed here, been here, and done that, it makes it more special because there's a connection with all of us. And,
oh, I'm so spoiled that I know all the guys, you know, not just see them on TV, but I get to see their faces and I get to chat with them and know about their lives. And yeah.
Good guys, man. We've had a run of just phenomenal, phenomenal people come through this program. And that's probably the thing I'm most proud about. So,
yeah, I don't know if I shared it on the podcast, but I know I've shared it with you that Carter comes in and he's so excited. He, you know, especially with this COVID, he has not been around. And he walks in and two new freshmen come over and, hey, little Mike, you know, and they eyes perk up. You play basketball? He's just, you know, he's kind of, you know, really shy. You any good? And they start giving him advice. Hey, take notes, you know, get early morning workouts. This kid's been working out early morning every day ever since Nolan told him that. It's amazing what a kind word will do to make a kid's whole summer, you know? And I just think, but that's almost the norm on this team, which is unbelievable. You know, how many good quality guys you have.
It's crazy that I honestly think the program, just because of the guys we've had before them, attracts, you know, the type of guys that we have now. I mean, I just saw, I don't know if you saw this, like, I mean, Nolan's just getting done with his senior year. He's going to be a freshman here. He's had a camp for underprivileged kids. This is his second year now. This is stuff you do after you graduate from college. And he gives back this portion of the money. You know, he's giving it back to the Seattle Rotary Club. I mean, he's 18 years old. I mean, how good this dude's going to be president of the United States when he's done playing. He's a hell of a player now. I mean, he's big time. He's got great leadership qualities and all that. But, I mean, how about that? I mean, some of this stuff, and how Chet manages all everything that's going on in his life right now, and how humble he is and how concerned he is with team and teammates and not, you know, rocking the boat and all that. I mean, these are guys, I mean, they're just basically getting here now, but I mean, they're total zags, you know, total zags. And it's so impressive. So I was always impressed with Jalen, how he handled all the hype and what a great teammate he was, you know. Through it. And it's different. Like, are they lucky? Is it great to be them? Yeah, heck yeah. But a lot of people before them, you know, in other places did not handle stuff like that. And these guys handled it they hit it out of the park. So
it's amazing how many guys you can rattle off. I was asking about Corey Kispert a year or two ago.
We could do literally a whole podcast on Corey Kispert. I mean, he literally, you know this, he is the walking, talking example of what a college athlete should be, what a zag is. I mean, as good a teammate as you could ever pie, a heart of worker, smart, unbelievable in the community. I mean, strong man of, you know, faith with his Christian faith and values. Good at surfing, good at, you know,
he plays guitar,
good at, you take him out on golf, he'll probably shoot under 80, you know. I mean, he's a one of a kinder. I mean, we literally, you could do a whole podcast on that guy. So yeah, how lucky are we, right?
I know, that's why I say, I mean, these are the things. I know it's not all you, it's the whole team, but yeah, those are the reasons why I love coming to work. And of course, I'm a Spokie now, so I'm not leaving. But the thought is never there to go to another place and do anything else, because it's the people. And
yeah,
I just want to thank you for everything that you've done. And just so excited to watch this year's team play.
Yeah, well, thanks to you. You know, you've been the great connector of all. I always feel that. So you're kind of the great connector from the old to the new, because you're around all our guys. You're around me on a daily basis. So I think you can kind of, because sometimes I just feel like, you know, the older guys, it's so different now. And it's not. I mean, it's still the same, right?
It is exactly the same, yeah, just with nicer gear, a nicer practice facility. But the people, the process is the same. And that's why I love being with Travis Knight. this guy just wants to get better, and it's not about what he can do on social media. He just wants to be the best at what he does.
Yeah.
And then I go and I love being with Brian Michelson. He wants to be the best, and it's infectious to be around all of these people that are just, they're not striving for some other person's definition of success. They want to be their best version.
True, and they're just totally immersed in being a Zag, right? I mean, you bring up B-Mike. I mean, to me, he's an unsung hero, really, of just nobody, you know, has talked about him. But, I mean, the people that he's been able to recruit to this place, the work that he's, the development that he's helped with so many of these players here, and just the growth he's had from an X and O standpoint, I mean, he's the real deal. And you look at what's happened in this program kind of since he joined us, you know, and especially kind of jumped in more of that full-time mode. I mean, he and again, not trying to draw attention to himself or what needing articles written about him or anything like that. But again, just another great example of the talent that's within this program, but the humbleness and teamness and values that, you know, those individuals possess and just make this thing so cool.
Well, and that's why I really love Hoop Commitment as we go through. It's not about the biggest, fastest, strongest. And you know you love to be competitive and win, but if there is that piece that you can't put your finger on, whether you call it spirit or leadership or family or whatever. And I think whatever it is, it's kind of swept up in these halls.
Yeah. And I hope when you're not in these halls, I mean, my hope is to go back to what you said, that we've handled it with a grace and a class and a humbleness too. And I think we have, because that's been our intention. You know, when you're not part of us, when we play at your arena or wherever, and, you know, state or anywhere. I mean, I think we've always, I hope our programs handle itself in that way. That's certainly what we strive to do.
Well, Coach, can't thank you enough. 100th episode.
Yes. Wow. 100 of these talks.
Yeah,
you seven listeners out there, we love your loyalty and support.
Now that's a wrap on episode 100, and I hope you'll continue to join me every month as I continue seeking out the greatest minds in basketball nutrition, training, and leadership. And to all of you who are committed, well, earn your X.